to me like Jesus came. Nobody to me like the Lord came. Nobody to me like Jesus. He my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He my friend. Said they heal my body. Told me to run on. Heal my body. Told me to run on. Said he heal my body. Told me to run on. He my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like. Oh, can't nobody. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. He my friend. Amen, amen. Oh my, I don't know about y'all, but I just like them old songs. It just does something to you. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come tonight to just give you thanks and praise, oh God, for just allowing us this opportunity to be here and to be in the presence of the Lord tonight. And we pray that you anoint us afresh, anoint our thinkings, Lord, tonight. Help us to say something that will be a blessing and an encouragement to the saints of God here, Lord, that have gathered together. Lord, you knew who would be here before the foundation of the world. We ask that you just open up our understanding, Father God, Lord, and we just give your name the praise, glory, and honor. We ask also that you just be with the saints, Lord, as they prepare to travel back home. Father God, just watch over and protect them, Lord. We just give your name the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's just get our Bibles out tonight. It's good to see everybody out tonight. It's good to be able to be here once again, to be just standing, Lord, and place of Brother Jack, and I understand that they've been having a real wonderful time on that trip. We're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 17. They've really been having a real wonderful time, but I guess the time has come to come home. Amen. So y'all just pray for them. It was a real tremendous battle trying to get to where they wanted to go, but by God's grace, he made a way for them. So we appreciate the Lord for all those things. That's why you sang a song like that. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. 1 Kings 17, we want to start at the second verse. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the raven to feed thee there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he had went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the raven brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. You may be seated. I want to talk briefly on a little subject. Most likely get to where I want to really go at tonight, but I see how fast I can talk. I was working on this a couple of services at home, and it took me a little while, and I just kind of bypassed a few things, but it's difficult to try to preach a series or something when you know you're only going to be here and there. So y'all just forgive me for that, but your pastor's going to be back with you next Wednesday. He'll pick up where he left off before he left. But we just want to try to be a blessing and an encouragement. I don't know about y'all, but I love the Word of God. Is that right? And but I want to not just procrastinate. I want to just maybe get started tonight. And the scene is here in 1 Kings. What has actually happened? This is during the time that Elijah the prophet had prophesied that it wasn't going to be any rain until he called for it. And here, by this happening, it caused circumstances to transpire during that time where things dried up. You know, if it ain't, we know that by living in Florida. If it's not any rain taking place, everything beginning to dry up, and things had to dry up during that time. But you know, some things in here that's just really a tremendous blessing for us to show us that how that God, it don't matter the circumstances, God still shows himself to be God. Is that right? And you know, with the conditions and everything, God still provided for his prophet. When we go to 1 Kings 17, as we started out reading, what we found is that God had commanded a raven to sustain his prophet, right? He commanded him to do it. He directed him. And you know, I don't know about y'all, you know, I think weird, I guess, is being a servant of God. And to think now how God would command a raven to sustain his prophet, but he did, right? And I mean, according to the scripture, he brought him bread and flesh. Is that right? But he sustained, I'm going to be talking on the reaction of your faith, right? The reaction of your faith from be certain of God. And like I say, I'm going to go as far as I can go in the next little bit, and we're not going to hold you. But, you know, God had sustained his prophet, and then the brook dried up. But you know what? When it comes down to God's elect, what we find is God is always working to prove himself, right? Because he promised to never leave us nor forsaken us, right? A lot of times we find ourselves in situations and we might think that God has forsaken us. God is working when we don't realize God is working. Is that right? God knew that his prophet was in this condition, and God, because God is sovereign. How many can say amen to that? God is sovereign, and so God, nothing catches him by chance. Nothing catches him where, you know, he's like, oh, my God, I didn't know that this was going to happen. No, no. God knew that the conditions was going to be the way that they were. God knew that he had a believer over here that was going to be praying, right? As we kind of look at the story, this is what I believe now, is that the prayers of this righteous woman was the cause of things happening over here to where God could get his prophet from here to here, not only for God to sustain him, but also God could sustain her. That's just how sovereign God is. Is that right? But I want to start, if we could pick up our quote here and just start and just to show this, you know, just to show us some things that we can understand the nature of God. Because I think a lot of times Bible believers, good people, but we misunderstand the nature of God, the character of God. And once you understand the character of God, the nature of God, you can follow God's nature and how God does things all the way through the scripture, right? Now, what we're going to look at here is we're going to show you how that God won't just send his elect anywhere, right?
Amen. It's got to be the same caliber. So he says here how that that this little woman must have been of the caliber of Elijah. Now remember, the conditions were it was a famine, right? And that all of her resources were gone, all of the food and everything was gone. Is that right? And God was going to bring his prophet from the brook over here to where the woman is because God was going to sustain her. But not only that, what we'll see is that she was a believer, right? And that God don't bring us in contact with any sorts of people. He don't want us in any kind of church. Any church, you know, just go anywhere. No, that's not the nature of God, right? If God is going to send you somewhere, it's got to be a certain caliber, right? Come on. If it don't meet with God's caliber, then God's not going to send you there, right? Brother Branham said God wouldn't send his prophet to an adulterer, an unbeliever, right? Why in the sovereignty of God? I mean, what we see veiled in a prophet, right? It is anytime a prophet, amen, comes on the scene, they're there to manifest, amen, God to the people. They are actually God to the people, like it was in the days of Moses, right? Amen. And so it's got to be God's caliber on the other end, right? Amen. If God's caliber is being displayed in this prophet, right? Now, I don't have it all outlined for you, but I'm going to just talk it to you, okay? Is that all right? And I'll read as I go along. I just got so much in my head sometimes. It's hard for me to kind of stay where I want to go. But we got to understand when you go back and you study the history of Elijah, right, the prophet, God loved this spirit so well. And I'm quite sure Brother Jack has taught this here, the five comings of Elijah, that God has loved this spirit so well that he used it five times in the scripture. He with Elijah, the prophet who he's talking about tonight, with Elisha, who came on the scene after Elijah went off the scene, right? With Brother Branham, the same spirit, right? We got him coming in Revelation 11, right? Same spirit, right? John the Baptist, the same spirit. That's to show you what God felt about that caliber individual, right? I mean, when you go back and you study, now y'all do some studying on your own. Go back to the Book of Kings and just follow the character of this man. He was an obedient man. The scripture says that he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. So he was a prayer warrior. He was obedient. I mean, he was a believer in God. I mean, he followed in the things of God. He had the characteristics of God. When things got out of order, amen, he was the kind of pastor that didn't play. Right? He didn't play no games because, I mean, when Ahab and Herodian, they was all crossed up and, you know, he didn't really play around, things of that nature. That might not Ahab and y'all help me. I got a name, Jezebel. Right? Jezebel. When you know, things were out of cater, his character, his caliber was like, hold on, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This not gonna stand like that. Right? Amen. Right? So, you know, when things were happening, and it's good for us to see. Now, watch this. He says how that this woman must have been of the caliber of Elijah. Because usually your actions show what you are. And again, she had been chosen to entertain God's prophet. Remember, she was a Gentile, not a Jew. And the land was burning up. And no doubt that this little woman being of that caliber, right? Believe, being of the believing type. For we see that God would not have called to her if she hadn't have been a worthy one to entertain God's prophet. For he would have never sent his prophet to the house that was unworthy. God just shows you something about the characteristic of God. Because it was God commanding, you know, this woman, right, to sustain his prophet, right? And so God is not going to put his prophet in harm's way, right? I'm going to believe that. And that's the same thing with the believer. That, you know, it's when it comes down to church, when it comes down to so many things, God is not going to put the believer in harm's way. We're talking on the reaction of your faith tonight. And just building up, we just working with Elijah, right? And just trying to show us, and this is important. This, I think this is meaty. It's something that we could hold on to as Christians when we talk about the leadings of God, right? Because I mean, when you go back to 1 Kings 17, it wasn't him leading himself, right? It was God that led him by the brook. And then it was God leading him to this widow woman to sustain him. So it wasn't just a man leading himself just out there just doing his own thing. It was God's leading. And see, it's important for us to see, because a lot of times people say, well, God is leading me. And when you look at it, you know, you got to go back to the caliber of God, right? The nature of God, because if you miss that, you'll miss God's leading, right? And so, Brother Branham's saying here in the quote that we just read, he wouldn't have sent his prophet to some unworthy one, right? He wouldn't have done it. He had to send him, amen, to somebody, right, that was worthy, right, to sustain him. And see, in the leadership of God, when it comes down to church, it's got to be the same caliber. God will never lead you to a place that's unworthy for you to be. Come on, somebody. He's going to lead you as a believer to a place of, because it's got to be the same caliber. Right? I mean, we could take this, and I could take this and preach marriage and divorce, choosing of a bride, and all of these different things, right? It's got to, I mean, you can go back to the Old Testament and just really pick up the caliber. Like when he told Israel, when you cross over to the land, don't let your daughters get hooked up with their daughters, their sons, right? Because it's got to be the same caliber, right? Because God, if you're unworthy, here, in the eyes of God, amen, as a believing child, you're worthy, right? You're worthy. You're supposed to be worthy, but then he'll put you in harm's way and allow you to tally up with somebody that's not worthy. God don't work like that, right? Because the way God starts out something, right, God don't change, right? God don't change. If he starts something out one way, it's got to constantly be that way, right? Amen. That's one of the scriptures, Hebrews 13 and 8, that our message is hinged upon. God don't change. He don't change it. And how God starts out something, it ever got to remain the same all the way to the end. If it don't, then it ain't God, right? It's not God. If anywhere it changes, it ain't God, right? Amen. So in his caliber, he was going to send this woman to somebody that was a believer, right? Because the believers are tied to the promises of God, right? The believer, not the made believer. God is obligated to the believer to take care of the believer. And when the brook was dried up, amen, in 1 Kings 17, You know, God had sustained him. God had a raven that feeding his prophet, and he was doing fine. But then God's, amen, and you know, his foreknowledge, seeing the conditions of another believer over here that was going to need, amen, the prophet, right? And so through her prayers and everything, it changed the conditions over here. God works on, amen, both ends. Y'all, I'm about ready to preach. I preach, teach, but I'm going to take my time, right? God works on, it, you know what? It was the power of prayer, right? It was the power of prayer that can change the conditions over here of the prophet, because the prophet was doing pretty good. He had a raven stealing meat and bread, Brother Mike, getting it from somewhere, feeding him, drinking, no hassle, but it was the power of a believer's prayer that dried up the brook, right? That moved the prophet, right? To bring the prophet on the scene to sustain her. Is that right? Because, I mean, it's just, you know, in what God does for the believer. But let me finish this on quote 30. He says, "For he would have never sent his prophet to a house that was unworthy. It was not his choosing. It was God's choosing. It wasn't her bidding him. It was God bidding him. He had been placed by a brook. The raven was feeding him. But it was God commanding for something to take place." So you got to see God in the midst. I mean, no matter what we find ourselves in, you got to understand something, that God is in the midst of that thing. God is always working. Is that right? "And God surely went to a believer of the same nature of Elijah." Right? Okay, we want to skip down to 39. Right? And we got that kind of out of the way. Now, like we say, the conditions are getting to a place that, man, she's coming down to her last. Right? She's getting down to her last. But she's praying. And you know, everything is going on, and God is moving. God moves. Let me say this. Don't ever try to fence God in a box. Right? When you're praying and asking God for something, don't try to, you know, pray God's will in your own way. When you just praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I'm praying you see my situation, but however you're going to do it, you just do it that way. I don't have you locked in. I don't have you fenced in," right? Come on, church. "I don't have you boxed in. I don't have you fenced in. I just got a need, and I just need it to get done." See, because if you try to box the thing in and try to figure out God and all that, you'll miss God. We got to understand something. We serve a big God. An awesome God. A very big God, church. Amen. Now watch this. He says, in teaching on faith, right, one of the things, you can keep the quote up, one of the things that I want to mention here, you got to teach faith properly, right? A lot of times I listen to how the brethren, you know, this in the nominal world teach faith and things of that nature, and sowing seed and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 and God gonna bless you, and never really bring the thing and line it up with the word of God. I believe God is a God of blessing. Is that right? Amen. I believe that God's a God of blessing, but I believe that God blesses in a certain way. And God ain't going to bless you if you're just living any kind of life, doing any kind of thing, because if you're doing it like that, then you can't have faith. Right? Because if our heart condemn us, right, we can't have faith with condemnation in our heart, right? So now watch what he says here.
Right? Now, we just work on a little faith. Like I say, I'm not, I can't cover it. But I'll lay it out. Maybe Brother Jack will listen to the tape and he'll take it from there. He says, now, you know, when we have confessed our sins and met every requirement that God requires, that's important. That's key. Right? That's key to faith. Right? Making sure that you've met all the requirements of God. He said, we believe on God. Their circumstances has to be met. Right? And it's according to his will. And we've confessed our sins. And we've made all of our wrongs that we have did right. And done everything that we know how to do. Look, now I know I'm not going to get to it. So I just got to drop little things as we go. This little woman, this widow woman, seeing her condition, Brother Bam say, she went in prayer, making things right. Then he goes right over here to Job, right? Talking about when Job's family was, you know, young people, you know, and they was doing their thing. And what Job done pre-adventure, they sinned. He made sacrifice. He repented for them. He met God's requirement. That's why he got them in the end. Right? He never lost them. He got them in the end. But he met the requirements of God. See, look, church, you got to meet God's requirements if you ever expect for God to bless you. Right? You got to meet his requirements. That's exactly how he sets it up. It's not my thing. Right? It's a God thing. Right? Amen. We come back 39. He says, and we've confessed our sins, and we've made all the wrongs that we have did right and done everything that we know how to do. Every requirement that God had made or asked, we have met that requirement. And watch this, right? And yet he lays silent. He just won't answer us. Right? That's when you got to really have faith. Right? That's when you got to really have faith. It's when, you know, things is getting bad. Conditions are getting bad. And you know, you understand God that it's like, you know, okay, God, I'm searching out my life. I'm searching myself out. And I'm making sure that I met every requirement. But then when you done all that and God lay still, you ever been in that situation? It seems like God is laying silent. God ain't moving. But that's the time, amen, if you got genuine faith, it's working, right? He says, I'm sure that I'm speaking. You can pull that back up. I'm speaking to people this morning who come to that place. I've been there many times myself when I've went back and traced my life and turned over every stone. A prophet? Yes. Right? I'd find that I did something wrong and I confess it and say, Lord God, I'll make it right and do so and so. Go and do so. And then come back again and say, now, Lord, thou art God. You'll answer me. Surely I've met every request that you required me to do. He see, Brother Branham knew that God just wasn't going to bless him under any conditions, right? And every requirement that I have met it, and still he won't move, seems to set silent. That's when you've got to be sure that he's God, right? And my context was remaining certain. See, you got to be certain of God. And when you're certain of God, you got to remain certain. When it seems like God is laying silent, he's not moving. You got to be certain and remain certain, right? Because God, I'll read it in a second if I get to it. God likes to test our faith, right? And, you know, it's ironic, but, you know, we try to talk about a lot of times how deep we are and how much we know and things of that nature. And God be saying, I'm going to try every bit of that you say you know. Come on. That's right. God likes to try our faith, right?
He says, now, my text, be certain. First, before you do anything, be certain in your heart that he is God. Right? That's why it's so important, church, as we all growing from the young to the old. We all growing and we all maturing in the gospel. Really get a hold on an understanding about the God that you serve. Right? Don't take it for granted. Don't just leave it all to Brother Jack or Brother Caleb. Study it. Really, really pray and understand. Come to an understanding of this God that you're serving, because you're going to need to know in a time of test and trial. Right? You got to know that how real he is. Right? And how he comes on the scene for you. Right? Amen. Because if you don't, in a time of test and trial, you are not going to have any faith. Any faith at all. Because you won't be certain of him. Right? And like I like to say, hey, you know what, church? It's easy to shout and have a good time and glorify God and jump and jerk when everything's going good. Huh? Smile on our faith, teasing. Blessed. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. Right? You know, people have all the slogans and cliches and everything going. And then when circumstances and stuff come, and you watch the expression of people, right? You're like, that person ain't certain. Because if you're certain of God, then no matter what it comes, it don't change your expression. Come on. It won't change you. And we all go through some stuff, right? But the revelation that we pack within us keeps us elevated, right? It's like every time I see Brother Mike always, you know, happy and always smiling, right? And see, the only way you can do that is by revelation, right? We like to sing the song, in the good time, huh? In the bad time, huh? I'm feeling good, church. I don't know about y'all. Right? No matter what the circumstances is, circumstances and situations shouldn't change us as believers. Right? Amen. Let's move on. We at 41. We on 41. Quote 41. He said, my text, be certain. First, before you do anything, be certain in your heart that it's God. And when you've met everything that he said, then you're sure that he's God. Watch this. That's when faith goes to work, right? Let me back up. This is important, church. You say, why? Because we're coming down to some times, right, where we're going to be squeezed out, right, and pressure. And we got to be certain. You got to be certain, right? So he says, you know, starting at verse 41, he's saying, my text is be certain first before you do anything. Be certain in your heart that it's God. And when you've met everything that he said, then you're sure that he's God, right? That's when faith goes to work right there, right? Look, watch how he talk about faith. I was reading some of these quotes Sunday, and it was just powerful how he talks about faith. Almost like faith is a person, right? Go back and get, if you can, Be Certain of God, 1959 Chicago series, right? He says, faith stands steady, right? For it knows. Faith knows, right? It stands steady for it knows that he is. And you've met every requirement, and you believe that he is. Faith holds steady. Faith ain't wavering, right? Faith don't waver. Faith is not moved by circumstances and situations. Faith holds steady, right? Amen. It's not because if you up and down about things, you ain't really got faith, right? Because faith is solid.
Faith is steady. Faith don't move. Circumstances don't move, right? Nothing moves faith. It holds right there. Everything is caving in. Faith is right there, right? Though he slay me, yet I trust him, right? Come on. Hebrew boys, right? Right in the fiery furnace, right? Amen. You know what? If he don't deliver me, I know that he is able. That's faith. That's faith. See, God was testing them, testing the reaction of their faith, right? Right up into the fire. What are they going to do? If he don't do it, he's able. And I'm going right in this fire with this testimony, he's able. If he don't, he's still God. And he's able. And I'm not going to change. See, if they would have changed, they never would have been delivered. Right? If their faith was movable, they never would have got deliverance. Look at the characters of the scripture. Those guys, man, they had faith that was steady, knowing that, amen, he's God. He's God. He's brought me from a mighty long way. He's able. Sometimes, church, let me tell you something. Sometimes, you know, you just look back. Take a journey down through your past life, right? It ought to be enough to, man, make you jump up and shout and glorify God of all of the wonderful things that God has done for you, right? Amen. It's enough. God has done so much for us until, man, when we face something nowadays, we ought to just look at it and just like laugh almost. Is that right? Knowing that, you know what? No matter how big it seems, because Satan is a master of blowing things up and making things seem like, my, this thing is, and it's a lot of times it is beyond us, but it ain't beyond him. And see, if you focus on what's going on and not keeping your focus on him, man, you're going to be ate up by, amen, what you're in and what you're going through and not seeing what God is doing. See? Because this woman that was praying, her conditions and circumstances, Brother Branham said, was getting worse and worse and worse. But, amen, she had to, amen, have, amen, her thoughts and everything on a living God. Right? Seeing what was real, right? Yeah. Amen. And our circumstances is real, but our God is realer than our circumstances, right? Our God is bigger than, I mean, how many times we've need money and it showed up? How many times we've need healing and it showed up? We needed deliverance and God comes on the scene to deliver, make a way. Is that right? How many times, church? Oh, my. But see, I like this. Let me get back to this. We're on 41. He said, faith holds steady. Oh, blessed be his name. Faith won't move. For it's sure that God is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, this goes way down deep and never move from it. Branham Tabernacle. If you've met God's requirement, and in your heart, you believe that he is, God's only testing your faith, right? For he, wow, that's a powerful statement. For he loves to do that. God loves to test your faith, right? Amen. So when you're going through, let me tell you something. If you're going through something, it's God testing your faith, right? Amen. God testing your faith. One thing God knows about faith is that it don't move. Right? Come on. Why? God veiled himself in a body. We were talking about that last weekend, right? Last Wednesday. God manifested himself in human skin. Right?
and walk in a realm of perfect faith, right? And wasn't moved by nothing. Nothing moved him, right? Amen. He was peculiar. Go back to perfect faith message. Peculiar, odd, strange to everybody else, right? So God knows the operation of faith, right? Because he operated it in a body. My God, right? Brother Wisdom was here, he'd say that. My God. Right? Amen. He said he loves to do that. He says, you've confessed your sin. You've met every requirement that God requires, and still he lays silent. Remember, faith says that he is. Then faith holds on to it, not knowing what it's all about, but knows that he is and is certain that he is. Right? Let's get down to 44. Then remember, if he is, his word has to be true. And if God required you to meet these circumstances and you did it, watch this. He's obligated to take care of his word, right? God's word. Look, church, we got to understand something. We are tied to God's word. We are the word made flesh, right? And God, man, God will bankrupt heaven in behalf of the believer, right? Because, I mean, we're so much a part of an unconditional covenant of God that God cannot let this thing fall to the ground. No. Look, church, God can't allow you to be defeated. Right? God won't allow you to be defeated. We sing this song, we are glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Right? We are a victorious group of people. How many believe that? See, he's obligated to take care of his word. Don't back off and say, oh, I never got healed. Oh, you, watch this. Watch how he places this. Oh, you poor, weak faith. Don't you believe that? If everything's confessed and everything's out and you met God's requirement, faith holds right there. It don't move, right? There's nothing will move it. He is, and you're sure. They that wait upon the Lord and renew their strength, mount up on wings as the eagles, shall run and not weary, walk and not faint, right? Wait when you've met his requirements. So it's important to meet God's requirements, right? That, watch this, that brings your faith to a showdown. If you have met God's requirement, has met it, and you have fully considered it, you have done everything that God required you to do, then your faith rests right there that he is. Be certain of God. Right? Let's skip down to 46. Watch this. He says, you know, he loves to test us. We don't like to be tested, I know. I don't either. Come on, be realistic. I know y'all real deep and sanctimonious and all that. Praise the Lord, gee. I love to be tested. I don't. Because we don't know what kind of test he's going to put us in. But I do know he's going to test us. So it don't bother me. But I like this. And this, you know, when I read this, it just really done something for me. All right? This is our subject, the reaction of our faith, right? He said he loves to test us. He loves to see the reaction of your faith, right? Here this was God believing child over here, the circumstances. And I'm telling you something, this is powerful now, because let's just look at the situation. It was a woman whose husband had passed away, right? Being a widow, having a son, and seeing, you know, being actually placed in a helpless situation, right? Because we like to be in control. That's our nature as human beings. We like to be able to have something to rely upon, right? You can rely upon your education. or we can rely upon our job, or we can rely upon how much money we got in the bank and all of that. Well, let's look at it. God dried it all up. Huh? She had no resources, nothing that she could look to get her out of the situation that she was in. She could only look to him. Right? Come on. She could. Let's look at it. The judgments had brought a condition where there was nothing there. Nothing. No food. She had just a little morsel, little bit of oil. Man, she had one cake in the making, and it was a done deal. Right? Those was the circumstances. That's reality. That's where she was. Right? And right in there, God said, you know what? I'm gonna see the reaction of her faith. Right? I'm going to see what she's going to do. Here's the circumstances. Husband dead, no job, no money, right? And that wasn't easy, church. Come on. We're talking about a human being. Put ourselves in that condition. When something happened to our child, we get to run into that rest because, oh, my child, oh, my baby, oh, this, oh, that, right? She wasn't no different than me. When I start seeing things, you know, ain't going right, and you know, and you watch your children and you hear the, you know, you they want stuff and you want to give it for them and you want to do, I mean, come on, not even a real stressful situation. But as parents, you know, you want for them to have the best of education, live the best kind of life, and you try to put them, you know, in a place where they can have the best. Live the best and be the best and everything else. And you rake and you scrape and things of that nature. And then it still seems like you're coming up short. Right? Come on. You might not think that's nothing, but that's real reality. And that'll put you under pressure. Right? But also that'll point you to God. Come on. I mean, look, all she could see, you know what? Man, this thing is so bad. All I got is one cake. We're going to eat this here, and we're going to die. And think like, right, she done prayed, she done met the requirements of God, and it just seemed like God was laying silent, right? God, because sometimes we want God willing, we pray, we want God to move on the scene instantly, right? Instantly. But what we fail to understand is God does things in a way that it don't backfire. Huh? It won't backfire. Well, sometimes we say, you know, Sister Brown, boy, Lord, I want you to save my children. And God turned their life upside down, flip them back, you know, do a body slam them and everything else. And we, oh, my God, my child and everything. You know, we get to cry and everything else. And God say, you know what? I thought you wanted me to fix your child. Come on now. When I do this, it's going to be done. Yes, it's going to be done. It's going to be done right. You ain't never got to worry about them going back on God. Right? You just got to know how to trust God. Right? I mean, this lady was in a position, but she was of the prophet's caliber. Because he was a prayer, right? Elijah was a prayer warrior according to the Bible, right? Amen. She was praying, met requirements. God seemed like he was laying still. But in all actuality, come on, we can read between the lines, right? In her prayer, God, it got a hold of God, right? And God was moving. She just didn't know it yet. I'm about ready to preach, boy. I tell you what, I ain't got but 5 minutes, but I'm about ready to preach. She was praying, right? And God was moving. The brook had dried up, right? God said, it's time for a change. You've been feeding right here. Right? Just look at us from a spiritual standpoint. I'll drop this at my church. Right? I mean, we were in Baptist and Pentecost and this, that, and was fed. But God wanted, amen, you know, was you know, sustaining us, bringing us to a further part of the word. And see, when you got to move with God, when God say, look, because if Elijah never would have moved, Elijah never would have got fed, right? Because, yes, God was feeding him here by the brook with a raven, right? But there was coming a change, right? God was getting ready. And this is where people miss God at. God was getting ready to do something different. Feed him another way. And what if he'd have just got to the place, well, you know, I've been eating right here. And this is the nature of people too, you know, in church. You know, I've been here. I've been in the Baptist church 30 years. And it might have been good, but then God saying, you know what? It's time to move because I want to feed you over here. Yeah. Right? And so if you're not obedient enough, right, if you don't really have faith and trust in him, you stay there and God say, you're missing me because I'm over here now. Right? Amen. But, you know, it was this woman's prayer. It was this woman's prayer. And God seeing his believing child being a Gentile over here praying, seeing the condition. And God saying, you know what? I'm working. Right? I'm working. All right, it's time to move. It's time to move. Right? Elijah would have messed up the program of God had he not moved. Or God had to do it another way. But because he was obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He was obedient to God that when this woman was praying, God was moving on both. He heard a prayer. That's why he had to move. Amen. This was God on the earth right over here, his prophet, sitting over here being fed by a raven. And all of a sudden it started moving. Amen. God was in action. God was moving. Right? I have commanded, right? Directed specifically, given authority. And let me tell you something. Like I said, I don't have time. You go back and read the book, right? I mean, his actions and her actions was God, right? It was all of God. You got to see God in the whole program, right? It was God that moved on the prophet. And that day that she walked out there and picked up those two sticks and met the prophet at the fence, that was God. And let's face it, I'm going to just jump ahead of myself, right? Y'all go back and read the story. But just look at this for about 2 minutes, right? My watch got 5 minutes. I can't hardly see that one back there. But I'm just going to just lay it down and I'm going to go, right? I mean, just look at the situation, right? It had to be faith for this woman, right? And look, let's face it. Let's put ourselves in this woman's position, right? Because if that's all we had, and a man came up and said, give me something to drink. And then say, give me something to eat, right? Because you got to realize we're human beings, and our minds and our wills get to turning, right? You got to know that you know that you know that you know. Right? Come on, you got a little handful. That's enough for you to eat, him to eat, and we just crawl up and hold each other and we just go ahead and perish. And then this man you never seen before, right? Comes on the scene, you got your little two, you know, picked up your two sticks. And you had it back. You got everything prepared. And he stopped you. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Give me something to drink. And then, while you at it, could you give me something to eat? You got to know something. Come on, church. Come on, church. Cause I'm a funny person. When I hear all this stuff, you know, I'm like, man, that ain't God. Right? Because the first thing, commonly, if God wouldn't have dealt with her
Cheetah, man, look, you lost your mind. Come on, we're the same way. This is all I got. Look, I got a boy that he gonna eat this and die. I got to see this. This my child that I bore and held and nurtured. I gotta see him die. Right? I gotta see him die. Oh God, Brother Branham say, and I got the quote, but I ain't gonna read it. I don't have the time. That it was something about that prophet, right? I believe she could see a caliber, right, in that man that she could see in herself and know that, you know what, it's something different about him than any other man. Any other man that I've come across, right? It was something, see, God's word could not fall to the ground. There was no way in the world she could have ever told that prophet no. Right? Because once that went out, I have commanded this woman, amen, to sustain you. That couldn't fall. Right? You're talking about an eternal word. An eternal word. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way in the world that she could have said, no, I'm sorry, sir. This is all I got. She couldn't have done it. There's no way possible. Right? There had to be something going on within her that says, you know what? This ain't just some ordinary man. Right? Amen. And when she did that, amen, those famous words came forth. Thus said the Lord. Those words came forth. But you know, it was God. It was God on the scene. It was God heard a prayer, right? It was God testing our faith, right? Amen. Seeing the reaction of it, just like he did the Hebrew boy, just like he did Daniel, trying the reaction of their faith to see if they was going to move from the word, right? Amen. But he was showing up. And I'm going to share this and I'm going to go. Just the nature of God, anytime you're in a situation, you know when God comes on the scene? In the darkest hour. Right? In the darkest hour, then came Jesus. Look, this was this woman's darkest hour. Right? Amen. God saw that barrel getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Look, God could have came on the scene. Right? Amen. When that thing was half full, that wouldn't have met with the nature of God, right? But he let that thing, man, get right down to the lowest, down to, this is it, right? Man, God will let you get in the grave. Your nose smashed in, grave clothes on, and everything else. Come on the scene. Move the stone. Where you laid him? Move the stone away. Who can figure? But that's the nature of God. When it gets right like that, it's just right for God. Right? God just be trying the reaction of our faith to see what we're gonna do when things ain't, you know, circumstances is mounting up, building up. He's just trying the reaction of your faith to see if you're going to stay true to his word, right? And most often, you know, people don't stay true because when God don't move when they want him to move, man, forget that, man. I ain't serving God. Man, he didn't come when I wanted to come. Man, everything crazy. Everything this. It's like God said, man, I can't even use that. Because that wasn't even faith, right? When it's the craziest, God saying, you know what? I'm just watching. And you glorifying God. And you praising the Lord. And you coming to church on time. And you being faithful and paying your tithes and stuff. We think because circumstances get tough, that's the time where we stop paying tithes and we start, you know, finagling and You know, and that's the time God said, you know what? You ain't got no faith. You don't even trust me. You don't trust me enough that, you know, you see it all the time. And people wonder, well, why ain't being blessed? And then they get upset with brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so being blessed and living good and looking good and all that. And they be upset. Well, it's because when they're faced with something, they just stay true. This don't even belong to me. This belong to you. Huh? This ain't even mine. Here you go, Lord. This belong to you. Here you go, Lord. Right? And God promised to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings, right? Shaking down, pressed up, and running over. Huh? See? But then, you know, for a lot of folk, boy, I tell you, what's it getting tight? The bill man said he gonna kick me out. Well, if you don't pay God, he gonna kick you out. So take your choice. Huh? Amen. Let the music come. How many just love the Lord tonight? Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. 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 Do you love him? Amen. Do you love him? Do you love him? Serve him. Will you serve him? Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Do you love the Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. I just like to say I appreciate this opportunity to be able to come, and it's always a real privilege and an honor to be able to come and fellowship and just be in the midst and sit down and hear the word of God. And y'all just remember Brother Jack, just a real precious brother and friend, and I love him. So y'all just continue to pray for him and pray for us. I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you call me to be. And that's what I will be. Yeah. I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you call me to be. Then